I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. The first debate between Pennsylvania Governor Democrat Tom Wolf and his Republican challenger Scott Wagner will be on October 1st, moderated by, of all people, Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy. Wolf, who was seeking his second term, and Democratic Senator Bob Casey, who was being challenged by Congressman Lou Barletta, have both been enjoying a sizable lead with less than 2 months to Election Day. Redistricting has redrawn the congressional map in Pennsylvania with some closely watched races. Democrat Connor Lamb in western Pennsylvania, several women candidates who are challenging Pennsylvania's Boys Club, and the first district in Bucks County where incumbent Republican Brian Fitzpatrick is holding on to a small lead with millions of dollars pouring into the race. The midterm election is also a test for President Trump, whose win in Pennsylvania took him over the top to take the White House, and a test whether the Democrats can retake the House of Representatives. We have Stephen Medvick to join us. He's professor of government at Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Stephen, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
And Chris Potter, politics and government editor for WESA FM in Pittsburgh. And Chris, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times as well.
It's always good to be with you.
Stephen, let me begin with you. How much engagement, interest is there in Pennsylvania for these midterm elections?
I think there's quite a bit. I mean, we've had in the most recent FNM poll, we showed that that interest, especially among Democrats, is quite high. There's a bit of an enthusiasm gap between the Democrats and the Republicans. About 60% of Democrats say they're watching these elections really closely, but about 53% of Republicans said the same. So I think on both sides, there's quite a bit of interest and a lot of enthusiasm.
How about there in western Pennsylvania, Chris? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, that's very consistent here. In addition to the races you've mentioned, we've got really the only battle between incumbents for the Congress out here, the newly drawn 17th congressional district between Keith Rothfuss and Connor Lamb, who was elected in the special election earlier this year. Those guys are battling each other. We have really, for this area, a high number of contested state legislative races, especially in the suburbs. And I know that that's the story out in the Philadelphia area, too, that in a lot of these suburban communities. This has been Donald Trump and his election have caused all kinds of turmoil and ferment in those communities. And that's percolating all the way down to the state legislative level. There are a lot of Republicans who haven't really faced a viable challenger. And now all of a sudden they're in a race in some of these places.
Stephen, let me pick up on that about President Trump. How much does his popularity or unpopularity hang over the midterms here in Pennsylvania?
Oh, it's the big story, really. I mean, his low approval rating, and again, in our most recent poll, he was at 38% in Pennsylvania. I mean, that is a big drag on Republican candidates up and down the ballot, even in state races like the governor's race. I mean, I think he is the big story. It's often the case in the midterm when people are reacting against the president, and if they're not happy the way the president's governing or leading, they'll take it out on the president in the midterm election. But this year in particular, I think Trump's unusually unpopular, and that is really being hung around the Republican candidates' necks.
Stephen, is it more anger or inspiration that gets people to the polls?
That's a great question. I think people usually are motivated more by negative emotion. So fear or anger is usually a pretty good motivator. To some extent, though, this is why Trump and the Republicans are going to be talking about impeachment more than the Democrats will, because if the Republican base, if Republican voters feel like there's really a threat to the president and to his leadership, that may motivate them to get out. So he'll be talking about impeachment more than the Democrats will, again, to try to rally his base. But the Democrats are really, really upset and angry. So I think it is more of a negative reaction to Trump than it is any positive vision that the Democrats might be offering.
Well, Chris, again, we think of western part of Pennsylvania, a place that has in the past voted for Democrats, but they went for Donald Trump for president. How do those people who voted for Trump, how do they feel about their president? Or our president,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah,
he's our president.
Exactly. Gosh darn it. I think that it's really kind of a tale of not two different cities, but a city and then sort of the outlying area, right? I mean, so within Pittsburgh and then Allegheny County itself, which just surrounds Pittsburgh, These are places that did not support Donald Trump. They're less likely to support him now. And where you're seeing kind of the battlegrounds is in sort of your more college-educated, prosperous suburbs where people voted Republican. They would be more likely to vote in 2016 for Pat Toomey, the senator, than for Donald Trump himself. In those areas, I think it'll be very interesting to see kind of how that plays out. Outside of that area, you get into the sort of the exurban areas, places like Washington County or Westmoreland County. A lot of those places, the people who voted for Trump, and you know, we've all seen the New York Times weekly New York Times story about some Trump voters still support Trump. And that is the story in a lot of those kind of outlying areas. He does still resonate out there. So we do see here this 17th congressional district race I mentioned is highly competitive, but there are races just outside the city, the newly drawn 14th district. Which is an open seat, and there I think the odds that Democrats are facing are a lot steeper, and it's partly because Donald Trump does still retain a lot of his popularity in those places.
Well, let me ask you, Chris, a little bit about Connor Lamb. How is he doing against the challenger in this newly drawn district, and would a Democratic socialist like the one who won in New York, how would that play in Western Pennsylvania?
Well, some Democratic socialists, I'll take the second part of that question first. We did have in the Democratic primary two DSA-backed Democrats beat longstanding Democratic incumbents, two members of a very prominent political family, Dom and Paul Costa, longtime members of the State House of Representatives, both beat and beat handily. I mean, I think it was by 20, 30 points, something like that, by young female DSA-backed candidates who are really in their first election challenge. So we have definitely seen that. But again, that's sort of focused – these are districts that are focused in and around the city of Pittsburgh itself. It would be a lot harder to imagine Connor Lamb, who originally ran in these sort of more suburban and even kind of rural areas, as a DSA candidate having that kind of success. He is in this race against Keith Rothfuss. Polls have showed him leading. Financially, it's about a draw. Both candidates have raised I think they're sitting on about $2 million. Mr. Rothfuss just aired his first negative TV ad, the first negative TV ad of that campaign. I just saw it for the first time yesterday. So he knows he's in a fight, and he has not been in that position before, Mr. Rothfuss. So I would say that, and Connor Lamb is kind of a golden boy right now. Just elected a few months ago. He's got a lot of charisma. Democrats are super, super excited about him. At least right now, you would have to say this district is definitely tilting his way.
And that's Chris Potter, politics and government editor for WESA-FM in Pittsburgh, joining us from their studios. And again, Stephen Medvick, professor of government at Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster, giving us an update on the upcoming midterms. You can join us 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Interested in your take about what's going on in Pennsylvania. Stephen, it's interesting. We're 10 minutes into our conversation. We haven't talked about the governor or talked about the Senate race, which obviously these are races that everyone gets to vote on. What does that tell us?
But it tells us that in both cases, the incumbent Democrat has a pretty big lead. It's maybe too early to say it's insurmountable, but they are very big leads. And so Governor Wolf is in our most recent FNM poll, has a 17-point lead. He's at 52% to Wagner's 35%. That anytime the incumbent's over 50% in an early poll, it's a really good sign. And so I think the governor is sitting in a pretty good position. So is Senator Casey. He's at 47% against Lou Barletta at 34%. So again, a double-digit lead. Maybe a tiny bit concerning that he's under 50%, but it would be more concerning if Barletta was also up in the 40s. So that big gap is going to be really, really hard to overcome, I think. And one interesting thing I think about both of those Republican candidates, the Republican challengers, is they're really kind of in the Trump camp. Clearly, right? Wagner has a campaign style that's very much like Trump's. Barletta, of course, an early supporter of candidate Trump. And so they're both, I think, unapologetically in the Trump camp. And that may be part of the reason they're having a hard time getting any traction.
I'm looking for the words. Both Wolf and Casey low-key, would that be a fair word to describe them? They have the advantage, obviously, of incumbency. Go ahead, Stephen.
They do, but I was going to say maybe after 2 years of what some people have described as chaos, you know, in Washington, maybe low-key is a good approach this year.
And, Chris, do we know how Alex Trebek got this job? and did you do the answers first and then you get the questions?
Yeah, I'd be very interested to see how that plays out, actually. I have to say, just to add to sort of what Steve said, I think part of the issue, at least here in the West, is people simply do not know who Lou Barletta in particular is.
Really?
I mean, I was talking to Republican voters on primary day, and these are Republicans in Allegheny County, and they're showing up. These are the true believers, and some of them told me they were surprised to see his name on the ballot because they had never heard of him before.
Wow.
I think there has been, and I think the campaign gets that. They have definitely stepped up their presence here. They've been in town. They were just in town, just in the region yesterday. We'll be seeing a lot more of them. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump holds a rally on his behalf sometime in the weeks ahead in this part of the state. But he's got a lot of ground to catch up. And part of the problem he's got is that he's never been successful at raising money.
Wow.
And in a state of, you know, 12, 13 million people, you really got to be up on the airwaves introducing yourselves, because you are not going to meet enough voters just going around on a bus with your dog. I think with Wagner, there's an interesting sort of a thing I've been noticing is that Wagner certainly campaigns in the Trump mode, but he does not have the rapport in some ways that Trump had with sort of your union workers, right? I mean, the statewide fraternal order of police endorsed Tom Wolf in this race, which is unusual. What they said about it is it had a lot to do with, you know, sort of union pension rules and union rules and things like that, where Scott Wagner has basically made a brand for himself about being really tough on union issues. So you've got a situation like that. And I've certainly talked to workers who, you know, union guys who were supportive of Donald Trump, but, you know, Trump was able to sort of connect with them, and he didn't have a track record of the kind that Scott Wagner does. And I think that may sort of be a problem for him in some households out here in this part of the state.
Oh, that's fascinating. Stephen, let me ask you about the first. It's now the first congressional district. This is Bucks County, and I believe is still a piece of Montgomery County.
Right.
Incumbent Republican Brian Fitzpatrick looking for, I believe, a third term. Mm-hmm. He is being challenged by Scott Wallace.
Right.
This is a race that is getting national attention. Why so important?
It's important because it's one of a few seats in Pennsylvania that could flip the Democrats' way. The Democrats nationally need 23 seats to gain control of the House, and you know, I think there's at least three, maybe as many as six. Probably it won't get that high, but Republican-held seats in Pennsylvania that could flip. So this is one of them. This is now a Clinton plus two district. In other words, Clinton would have won this new district by 2 points, and so it's a swing district. Fitzpatrick probably has a little bit of an edge as an incumbent, and also as a more moderate Republican. He's a good candidate. I think he's running a pretty good campaign, and so it may lean. The Cook Report has it leaning his way, but it's a very, very close district. It's a close race in a very in a swing district. So I think that's why it's attracting so much attention.
I mean, clearly, as you both have indicated, we'll probably see President Trump in Pennsylvania, probably the vice president, but President Obama is now back on the trail. And I wonder to you, Chris Potter, whether there is a reservoir of love or support for President Obama, and how do you think that would play, especially in the western part of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I think probably, I mean, certainly in Pittsburgh and the surrounding area, yeah. I mean, Barack Obama's name exerts a magical effect on a lot of Democrats in particular. That said, I'd be surprised if we saw much of him. A more natural fit, and it's one that Connor Lamb in his special election win earlier this year took advantage of, is Joe Biden. Biden is a guy who connects a lot with your kind of white working class union households. He is somebody that a Democrat can appear alongside of and feel good about that in a place like Western Pennsylvania. As I said, Connor Lamb did it in his special election. Biden was out marching with our Labor Day parade here in Pittsburgh not long ago, and with Bob Casey in tow, and held a fundraiser for Casey out here as well. So I think if you kind of look at national Democrats and in a place like Western Pennsylvania, Joe Biden is a much more natural fit than Barack Obama is. Whereas Obama, I have no doubt, would play a lot better in Philadelphia and its areas there, much less of a double-edged sword.
Stephen, we're almost out of time here, but we've seen a number of candidates where, and I think Connor Lamb is a good example of this, of literally knocking on doors, introducing yourself, talking to people, seems to be effective. And I'm thinking about debates versus ads versus that kind of retail politics. Is it all of the above? Is one better than other for a midterm in 2018?
It is a bit of all of the above, although I think you see a number of candidates nationally, too. If you look in Texas at Beto O'Rourke, who's really a surprise candidate, you know, he is part of the reason I think he's been attracting so much attention is that he's really pounding the pavement. He's going to places where Democrats normally don't go. And so when candidates do that, when they knock on doors, when they go to places that may be hostile territory to them, but they're willing to go in and introduce themselves, you know, they generally benefit from doing that. I think a lot of times we think this is all about the money and all about television ads, but the ground game, mobilizing your voters, matters tremendously, and candidate quality matters a lot. Yeah. And I think in a couple of these close races in Pennsylvania, District 1 may be one of those, you're going to see the candidate quality may make the difference in a really, really tight race.
I heard you say, yeah, Chris, we got about 10 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Democrats sometimes in particular have this grievance. They kind of forget that they want to believe that this demographics or historical election cycles will do the work for them. But you got to have the right candidate, and that's the difference maker.
Chris Potter, Stephen Medvick, thank you so much for joining us today in Radio Times, getting us up to speed. Much to discuss. We'll probably check in with you later on in the fall. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure for us. Stephen Medvick, professor of government at Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster. Chris Potter, politics and government editor for WESA-FM in Pittsburgh. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times. And you can find out more about the program. You can download a podcast of the show. Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Alex Stern. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. Thank you so much for joining us. And coming up next here on WHYY, it's 1A. And you can always tune in tonight or any weekday night at 11 o'clock for the rebroadcast of Radio Times. Well, there's a lot of talk about bias, but not much discussion about how to address the problem of bias. Tomorrow on Radio Times, our guest is sociologist Dolly Chugg. She's the author of a new book, The Person You Mean to Be, How Good People Fight Bias. She says the best place to start is with ourselves.
The University of Pennsylvania supports WHYY. Are you drinking more than you want to? UPenn is conducting a research study of a medication that may help people reduce or stop their drinking. To participate, you must be 18 to 70 and want to reduce or stop your drinking. The study provides a medical evaluation, blood tests, counseling, and monitoring of your drinking. Details at 215-746-1987.
This is WHYY-FM Philadelphia, WNJN-FM 89.7 Atlantic City, WNJZ 90.3 Cape May Courthouse, WNJB-FM 89.3 Bridgeton, WNJM 89.9 Manahawkin, and WNJS-FM 88.1 Berlin.